Coming up, I'll tell you how to stay competitive in a new job economy, and then how companies are trying to get around salary transparency laws, and so much more, including coaching you up. Let's go. Welcome to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to have you with us. This is where we help you win at work and in your life. Thrilled that you are with us. All right, so let's dive into this. How do we stay competitive? I mean, I've told you many times, and if you're new to the program, I will restate today that you are in a competition whether you realize it or not. And some of you, when you hear the word competition, and this is not a judgment, but let's be honest. Some of you hear the word competition, that you're in a competition, and you just immediately want to shrink back. You get a pit in your stomach. It's not your game, right? You know, I'm not very competitive, and you know, I don't like sports, and I didn't play sports, you know, all this stuff. I get it, but I've got good news and I got bad news. The good news is you can compete, whether you say that about yourself or not. And the bad news is you're in a competition whether you like it or not. So you can compete, and you're going to have to compete. And you are competing on some level, whether you realize it or like it or not. So the new job economy, this is post-COVID. The world at work has changed dramatically. It continues to shift underneath our feet. And so I'd like to offer a phrase today to describe where we stand in the work world. You've heard phrases like the gig economy, right, where people taking on multiple gigs, you know, total flexibility. You kind of decide your schedule. This would be things like Uber and delivery services and other things like that. So I'm going to add a new phrase. I'm going to call it the attention economy. I think we live in the day now where it is all about keeping your employer's attention, getting a prospective employer's attention. It's all about, am I being noticed? Now, some of you are going, yeah, no kidding, Ken. It's all about likes and clicks and all the things with Snapchat and TikTok and Facebook and Instagram and all the things, right? No, this is really about making sure that you are driving value to the point that you're almost always top of mind for leaders. This is how you win. It's how you beat the competition. The ability to stand out will give you the opportunity to step up. That's how I would say that, right? I need to always be standing out. How do I do it? Now, some of you are going, well, I want to do remote work and I'm going to let the chips fall where they do. Okay, fine. But I'm just going to tell you that you have a greater risk of not standing out when you're in a remote job. So how do we draw attention and then keep the attention on our value? This is the question we're going to unpack. How do we draw attention to the value we are creating? How do we hold that attention? This is how we win. So I think there's three ways to do it, specifically by developing some skills. And here's the good news before I unpack these. If you're listening and you're watching and you're saying, well, I'm below average or I suck in these areas, I got great news. You can be great in all three of these areas. Here we go. Number one, communication. We're going to broaden this word and give you some specific skills. Let's talk about writing, speaking, coding. These would be applications of the soft skill of communication. Listening. You can work on becoming a better listener. To all men out there, okay? Newsflash. If you work on becoming a better listener at work, you're probably going to be a better listener at home with your wife and kids, and that's a win. Okay? Let's look at writing. Do you have to take a writing course? You don't have to, but you could, and they're relatively inexpensive. Why? Well, if you're doing any type of public presentation, you are going to do some form of writing. If you are in a position where your opinion has to be shared from time to time, getting better at writing is going to help you. Speaking, again, you don't have to be a public speaker like I am and get out there and speak in front of thousands of people. You don't have to do that. But you think about how many times you have to do a public presentation. If you were to become a better speaker and employ many of the tactics that a public communicator uses, it's going to make you better. How about coding? It's the new form of communication. I mean, I could have all the ideas in the world to help people out. If I don't have smart developers, like Amanda's husband, who can take my idea and turn it into a digital product or put it on a website, my influence is limited. So for some of you who are thinking, I'm a pretty good writer, I'm a pretty decent communicator, but Ken, I don't know how to code at all. Can I just tell you something? It would be one of the skills that I would add right now. Some of you white collar people in white collar jobs, coding boot camps are so prevalent. I would be thinking about it. It is a form, and some could argue it is the form of communication. Your ability. Let me just give you a quick example and I'll move on. If I can do basic coding to the point where I could actually get a job coding, but it wasn't my primary job, and I had that in my tool belt, and my company's going through something and we got a sprint or we're doing something, we got a crisis we got to fix, and I can actually take that white collar shirt and I can roll my sleeves up and sit down with the coders and help out and do something, let me tell you the ripple effect that would have. All right, communication is the first and most important of the skills that makes you valuable and noticed. Number two, adaptability. I can go through this one really quickly. Let me tell you what this is. This is creating an appetite and thus a better attitude towards change. Let me say it again. If you're a person who hates change, force yourself in new environments where you have to accept change. You have no way out. Let me tell you something. Those of you that really struggle with change are ultimately dealing with a fear of the unknown. That is what you have to deal with. And you have to build a muscle up for that. You just do. There is no willpower here. This is experience with change. Experience with the unknown builds my muscle, all right? So thus, when I begin to overcome the fear of the unknown and I get calloused and build a muscle towards that, guess what? My attitude towards change gets better. All right, now, this leads into the third skill. By the way, all three of these are soft skills that'll make you noticeable because it drives home and emphasizes the value you bring. The third one, grit. In other words, refuse to quit. Keep showing up. Bounce back up. I always admired boxers. When I was growing up, I used to watch boxing a lot with my father, and I always admired when somebody took a great punch, got knocked on their keister, shook the cobwebs up, somehow got up before the count of 10, and came back to either win the fight or make the fight competitive. This is the idea of grit. A refusal to quit. I'm going to bounce back up. I'm going to dust myself off, and I'm going to keep showing up. Every day, I'm going to show up. This is what makes you noticeable, and it shows your value. Be a better communicator. Be adaptable. And just refuse to quit. This is going to show your value. Coming up next, how are the transparency laws around salary going? I'll tell you. Hey, if you're a business owner and you don't know your numbers, I hate to say it, but you don't know your business. And when markets are shifting, it's even more important. You've got to do everything you can to set yourself up for success. You don't have to be in the dark. Over 31,000 businesses, including our team here at Ramsey, know their numbers because they use NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, planning, budgeting, and inventory, so you can actually manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve your margins. Having everything in one place has saved our team hours each week since we made the switch to NetSuite. No more jumping between three or four different systems. We have quick access to what's going on in our business at all times. NetSuite is a game changer. So head to netsuite.com/Ken to get a product tour today. That's netsuite.com/Ken. helping you get unstuck and become unstoppable. This is the Ken Coleman Show. So glad you're with us. A quick nod to our YouTube crazies. These are the people that are watching live on YouTube. That is every day at noon Central Time, 1 Eastern. And it's a hearty group of folks. And they are in a Thanksgiving mood already, Amanda tells me. And they're wanting to know my favorite Thanksgiving pie. This is a no-brainer. Takes no time at all. It's a pecan pie. And by the way, it's pecan, not pecan. If you think it's pecan, save the comments. I'm not going to read them, nor am I going to change my mind. It's pecan. And I will tell you that I love pecan pie, and I will eat it just as it is. But if I have a dollop, a healthy dollop of vanilla ice cream right beside it, my belly is happy. And so that's my preferred way to eat it. By the way, if you like pumpkin pie, you need to go see a professional. You might be a psychopath. I don't know. That's just what I think about that. All right. So we've been covering this story and a trend in this direction, and this could affect all of you very soon. As usual, radical or untested or uncommon sense policies tend to start in either New York City or Los Angeles. And here we go again. This is a new law that took effect last week, I believe. The city of New York passed a law that required businesses that are hiring to post the minimum and maximum salary ranges for jobs. Now, advocates for this say this is long overdue. They cheered this. I reported on this a couple months ago, said this was coming. I said I thought that it was going to be a train wreck. And I need an I told you so button, you know, because I told you. But advocates for this say this is long overdue. This is fair for the worker. Now, I'm of the people, by the people, for the people, man of the people. And I'm telling you it's bad for you, and I'll explain in just a moment. But how's it going? All right. Well, so we've seen crazy ranges. New Yorkers begin calling out that some companies were posting extremely broad ranges, as 50,000 to 145,000 for a reporter, 125,000 to 211,000 for a senior technical writer. And this is my favorite, Citigroup. I mean, we're talking about a massive public company, folks. Citigroup listed several jobs with a range of, you ready for this? $0 to $2 million. Methinks Citigroup doesn't really care about New York City's laws, and some poor schlup had to put something in there and literally put no effort at all. $0. That's what I do. That's the range I put in, Amanda, when I go look for used cars for my teenage son. I go $0 to $5,000 because I want everything in between. But that's not what you put down for a job listing. They don't care. A Citigroup representative told The Gothamist, it has since updated its ranges, and that the shockingly wide range was an error caused by a computer glitch. That's BS. I don't believe that for a second. The posting gaffe highlights the numerous ways companies can still find ways around complying. Duh, you think? Now, this is for you, the people. You need to understand this. It is very commonplace for a business to find a target budget range, okay, because they have to submit the stuff. Ramsey Solutions does it as well. They, you know, they think, well, we may hire X amount of positions over the next year. And for each position, they select a budget number, a line item number, and maybe even a range in the line item for the position they're going to hire. It's very normal. But here's what you need to know, folks. What you'll see is that whatever is posted could be 20% lower or high. It could be, they could have margin on each side, 20% each way is what I'm saying. So let me re-say that. So if they post a position for 50,000, they may have a wiggle room, a bit of wiggle room, 20% higher than the 50 or 20% lower, and they're going to try to figure out which way they can go. So that's, they're not showing you the 50,000. That's their budget. They're going, okay, I'm going to budget 50. I may go 20% higher. I'd like to get somewhere between 20% lower, 10% lower, whatever. And so that's why they don't like to post the number, because in their mind, they're going to see what they can get. It's good old-fashioned negotiation. They're also playing the market. This is normal. So I tell you that to say, because I get a decent amount of calls and questions on this issue. Ken, what do I say for my salary. And I've always told you, you got to take your number. See, just like those companies budget a number for hiring, you've got to say, I'm not willing to leave and do everything that's involved with leaving a job unless I get this number. And you got to stick to your guns. Well, so now the experts are saying, in response to these type of laws, some businesses may stop advertising jobs outright and rely on other means of recruiting and hiring. And I'm going to tell you that that's absolutely what businesses are going to do. If state legislatures, if the federal government gets involved in this kind of nonsense, companies are going to go, okay, there's a way around this. We're not going to do something that is a disadvantage for us. It's stupid. Let me tell you who's going to win with laws like this. Recruiting firms. Because now businesses are going to go, all right, forget it. Forget posting a job. I'm not going to post anything. I'm going to go hire. I'm going to go to a recruiting firm and go, look, I need to hire 10 of these over the next year. Go find me these. That's what's going to happen. I mean, this is where the government gets involved and they think they can fix everything. And all they end up doing is making everything more difficult for everybody else. It drives me bananas. Now, I want to comment for a second. That's enough of the article. I want to make sure you understand, and again, you don't have to agree with me, but just listen as to why it's a bad idea for all this pay transparency, okay? Because this is just one part of the onion, this idea of forcing companies to post salary ranges for jobs. The other half of this is the same advocates for this kind of stuff are the same people who will say, everybody should know what everybody makes. We should all know. Now, let me just give you some anecdotal evidence from people who've called this show. And I would guess I've probably taken 20 or 30 of these calls over the last several years. And here's how it goes. Hey, Ken, I need your help. I accidentally found out how much my coworker makes. All right, I'm giving you the short version. So they've accidentally or without intentionally snooping around is what I'm being told. They find out that a coworker makes more money than they do. Coworker may have the same amount of experience or the one that really sticks in their craws where it's a younger person who's younger and has less experience and they come in, they're newer in the position and they're younger, blah, 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 and they make more money. Well, that's a reality right now in our job economy. As companies are doing everything they can to hire people. And so that's what we've seen. We've seen salaries go up tremendously. All right. So people call, Ken, what do I do? And I tell them, there's not much you can do. The cat's out of the bag, baby. Like, the bad stuff has already happened. You resent this person. They did nothing wrong. You resent your boss. They may or may not have done something wrong. But when I know what you make and you know what I make, comparison is unstoppable. You can't stop it. In those situations, I said, I'm going to tell you this. You're going to have to decide to get over it. You're going to have to go, you know what? There's no way that I'm going to remove the suck, but I can get over it. And it's always going to be there. Every time I see this person, I see the discrepancy in our paychecks. This is the reality. And I challenge any of you who think that pay transparency is a good thing to come up with the solution for what I just gave you. What would you say to this person? Because it sucks. You start comparing yourself to somebody else. You start feeling like you're devalued. You start reading stuff into your boss's mind, which isn't fair, and it isn't good for you, and it's not good for them. It is the worst of our humanness. Comparison is a cancer in any area. It's not good for 13, 14-year-old girls on Instagram to be comparing their likes to some other girl's likes. I mean, I deal with this crap. You know, what this person said about my clothes, they didn't say about their clothes. I mean, what? Comparison's a cancer for teens. Comparison's a cancer for adults. And you start taking the most emotionally charged thing we've got, what we make, and what we can do with that, and you add that to the mix, it's a disaster. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. I want to bring it all back to the opening segment. If you just now join us, it's worth a rewind as I talked about the second segment, rather, of the show when I talked about the New York City law on pay transparency. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You knowing what everybody else in your organization makes is a disaster. And we just took a phone call. I mean,
wow.
That's no good. They're not even in the same position, and she's all stemmed up over that deal. It's like the age-old question. If you could know when you were going to die, would you choose to know? In the control room, I'm getting some no's, no across the board. No. No. Why? Be a mess. Absolute, total mess. It just, come on, folks. There are just some things that we don't need to know, and you got to be okay with it. All right? And knowing what your coworkers make is one of them. You want to turn yourself into an emotional mess? Go start looking for that information. Yikes. Life is too short.
844-747-2577. Let's go to Brian, who joined us in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the city of brotherly love. Brian, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how are we doing today?
I'm living the dream, Brian. What are you doing?
I'm trying to do the same.
Come
Hopefully
on.
You can help me out with a little bit of a decision I got going on.
Okay.
All right. So I recently switched jobs at the beginning of this year into a field I actually really like. I do contract therapy for skilled nursing homes. So work for a company. It's going well. But due to hard work, I was recently approached by a competitor, and they're giving me an offer, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, they almost blow me away. I'm like, what do? I feel kind of, I'm in a spot. I really like the organization I'm with, but I feel like I could be really setting my family up for, for years to come.
Okay. All right. So let's do this. We're going to do the right thing. Now, the right thing is not determined exclusively by pay and promotion. So right now you got another company and they're coming to you and they're looking to jack your pay. And I'm guessing that comes with a promotion from where you are now professionally. Yes.
Jack and pay doing the same thing.
Okay, great. So when we get approached with that kind of an offer, boy, do we feel good. Don't we? Don't we feel good right now?
I feel amazing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, it feels good. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with feeling good, but stay with me, folks. Watch what's happening with Brian. Oh, Brian feels good. Hey, I'm wanted. I am desired by this company, and they are putting their money where their mouth. Whoa, man, are you serious? This is going to change my life. How much is it going to change your life by the way? What's the number?
$50K.
Whoa, man.
Days plus,
Whoa.
Plus, it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
It could be hundreds of thousands of dollars at the end of the day.
Oh, my gosh. It keeps getting better and better and better. This is a no-brainer. Why'd you even call me? Yet you call
me. I don't know. It's just, I feel like I just switched. I feel like I just switched jobs, and I...
Hold on.
One thing I pride myself on is not being a job hopper.
Well,
even when I was with my other company, when things weren't going the best, and I wasn't really I enjoyed what I was selling, but I wasn't necessarily in the field that I ultimately wanted to be into.
Okay, so you're calling me because you feel guilty about taking a job that's going to offer you 50 grand more that could lead to 100 grand more? Come on, I'm not buying it. There's more there. Now let me finish. This seems like a no-brainer. I was having a little fun. Seems like a no-brainer. Maybe it is.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. And
well,
that's the tough part.
So the tough part. So hold on. Is this a, because to me, pay will wear off for three months, 6 months, maybe. You're going to feel really good when those checks come in. Stand a little taller, chest out a little bit more, feeling real good, doing good with that money. But that's going to wear off one day. True or false?
That could be possible.
Okay, now hold on.
I don't know.
And I know. No. I'm telling you to wear off. We humans, we adapt quickly. Still a good thing, but it's no longer going to be the high that you're on right now. So here's the question. Does it allow you to stay on the ladder that you want to climb, or does it keep you in your sweet spot, which is what I teach? You're already doing the job. So if you love this job, and this is the ladder you're supposed to be on, this becomes the ultimate deciding factor. Because if the money is on top of the fact that this is on purpose for me, then it is a no-brainer. I was having a lot of fun with you because I want to take out all the extenuating circumstances. It's not about guilt. It's not about being a job hopper. You're not a job hopper. Do you like sports, Brian?
Oh, yeah.
Who's your favorite sport? Great. You're an Eagles guy, right?
Yep.
All right. Let me ask you a question. Okay. If you fire your coach at the end of this season or next season, which is probably going to happen because you guys are the Eagles. People aren't happy with anybody. Okay. You know it and I know it. I know football. Yep. All right. And you guys hire a coach who's a hot shot in the NFL or a hot shot in college, who's only been at that previous job a year or two, and you hire them to be the Eagles coach. Do you go home and go, well, we hired a job hopper?
No, you hired the best guy for the job.
Thank you very much. So why is it different for you, Brian? Why are you a flake and a job hopper, and the coach that you hired to coach your beloved Eagles is not a job hopper? It's the best candidate. What's the difference?
I don't know. Maybe I feel like there might be a stigma surrounding around, you know, I'll call it private organizations versus NFL or.
Oh, stop it. You're trying so hard to win this thing, and there's nothing to win. I'm not against you. I'm for you. You don't need to be guilty about taking a great stinking opportunity. The question is it the right opportunity? Is it the right move on purpose? Does it keep you on the ladder or allow you to move up the ladder that you want to be on? Yes or no?
I feel like it does. Yeah. It does.
Then this conversation is over. I have three words. Take the job. Yeah, but Ken, I mean, I've only been... Take the job. Yeah, but Ken, I don't... Take the job. But Ken, I'm not... Take the job. Take the job. Take the job. That's why he called. Folks, I'm just going to tell you something. Brian called for my permission. I promise you. He didn't need it, but so now I'm telling him, take the job. Listen, when I threw that Philadelphia Eagles thing at him, he had one set of rules for everybody else, but he wouldn't apply the same rule to himself. Why? Because Brian's a good dude. He's actually a really, really good dude, and he doesn't want to upset the people that gave him a chance. Here's what he really doesn't want to admit, and he's listening. I put him on hold, but I'm teaching the rest of you too, okay? Brian doesn't want to deal with the confrontation of going in and sitting in front of those people and go, hey, I know I've only been here a short time, but I got a better gig and I'm leaving. That's what's really going on. See, we think confrontation is an argument, an altercation. It's not true. And I'm not playing semantics here. A confrontation is where we must confront a issue. And the issue is he's got to sit down with his leader and go, hey, I know I've only been here a short amount of time. Deuces, I'm out. And that feels dirty to him. It feels gross. It's scary. All the things, by the way. But the truth of the matter is it's only scary because it's uncomfortable. And so he's going to have to be a big boy and put his big boy pants on and go in there and own it and say, hey, I'm sorry to break this news, but I got a life-changing opportunity. And you ready for this? If it's life-changing and it's the right kind of life change, not just money only, but it's purpose as well, paycheck and purpose, income and impact. Folks, I'm not going to change my philosophy. So if it's both, it's a no-brainer. And if it lets some people down in the process, that's part of the deal. And here's what you got to, you people pleasers out there, and I'm chief among them. If we won't make the right decision or we delay the right decision because we're worried about hurting people or disappointing people, the very people we're worried about, we're going to end up resenting anyway. So let's just be big boys and big girls and make the right decision and go forward. Knowing that good people, healthy people will cheer for us despite their disappointment. Unhealthy people will be jerks and talk about us behind our back. I can't control either one of those responses. What I can control is where I'm supposed to go. Do the right thing and walk forward. Hey, my time is almost up. But before I let you go, remember this. You matter and you do have what it takes. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.